Just to warn you, this is a very brief message this morning because there's lots more going on in the service than this. So it is going to be short. I'll try and keep it short. Loads of people now will already have left Christmas celebrations. You know, in our sort of materialistic society, I think Boxing Day hits them straight after Christmas, doesn't it? Go to sales. And then we rush to New Year, and we rush on to Valentine's Day, and we rush on to Easter. But this morning, we want this to be a reflective service where we can just stop. Hopefully, we're not part of all this rushing. We might have had busy Christmases, and so I think this Sunday is a good time to just stop and look back over what we've done, what we've heard, what God has said to us this Christmas, and maybe what we want to pray about for ourselves to begin with. So before we do that, we're going to look at a Bible reading about three very important people. I think sometimes these people are overlooked. So we're going to hear the Bible reading now, please, Steph, about the three kings.
Morning. The Bible reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judea. For from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel.' So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child. And when you find him, let me know so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over this place where the child was. They went into this house. And when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
Thanks, Stefan. It's probably an account you've heard quite a bit before, but just before I sort of move on, I want to say as well, it's quite appropriate that we look at the wise men at this time, because actually the wise men were the very last people to visit Jesus in the Christmas story. In fact, I don't know whether you picked up or not, but it did say when the wise men came, they went to a house, not the stable. And if you remember, Herod afterwards was killing children under 2 years old. So it's possible that the wise men didn't get to to see Jesus until he was a little toddler. The reading did say a child, not a baby. So what do we know about these three wise men? They're also called magi. They're also called the three kings, aren't we? Three ways to... Magi is a word used to describe men who studied the stars. So they would have been men of great learning, really educated men, held in high esteem, very important people. That's the first thing. They brought gifts to Jesus. They brought frankincense and myrrh, which were exotic spices. And they also brought gold. All these gifts show they were men of great wealth. Really important. Of all the figures in the Nativity, the wise men stand out in their rich, brightly coloured, silky robes. Now, I've put our three wise men at the front this morning just to remind me and us. They're not in rich, silky clothes, unfortunately, but they are brightly coloured, aren't they? Okay, so that'll pass, I think. Those garments would have been very different to the rest of the people around them. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they would all have been much poorer garments. So they were men of great learning, men of great wealth. Yet, in this story, we find that they took a very arduous, a very long, a very difficult journey. They met with the ruthless King Herod, one of the difficulties, and the countryside they had to travel across was not easy terrain. So it was difficult. It wasn't an easy thing to undertake. So why did they do it? Why do you think they did it? Well, as educated men, people who are looking at the stars, they would have been looking for signs for a new saviour. They would have known about the prophecies in the Old Testament, which foretold of a saviour coming. And they would have been looking at the stars, looking for something unusual, something different. And they found that eventually this star appeared, which they believed told of the birth of that special king in Israel. And I believe it was their religion and their faith that drove them to follow the star to where it led to Jesus, despite all the difficulties and dangers they faced. What happened when they finally saw Jesus, I believe, is truly amazing. Did you pick up on it? These three really important people, think of royalty in all its glamour, really important people, when they saw this child, we've just seen three children go off to Sunday school, so just a child, really important people, what did they do? They bowed down and they worshipped Jesus. They bowed down and worshipped Jesus. I'm just going to pause for a minute, just let that go into your minds. They were so important. You know, they could have cast the child aside, but they recognised something. And they humbled themselves and they bowed down to worship the child. Christmas reminds us that Jesus is inviting us all to worship him. Whether we're lonely or poor, you know, in ragged clothes or in glamorous clothes. The birth of Jesus changed both the wise men and the shepherds. And I believe it can change our lives too. If we're only willing to bow down and humble ourselves and worship him. And I think that's fabulous news. Because it means that every one of us here is invited to come worship Jesus. Everybody. It doesn't exclude anyone. The shepherds came and worshipped Jesus, and then these three amazing kings, these learned people, they came and they worshipped and they bowed down. So the question is this morning, if the birth of Jesus changed the shepherds and the kings, can it change our lives? And I believe the answer is yes, it can absolutely change our lives. Whether we're rich and famous, or whether we're humble and lowly, or whether in the middle, no matter where we are, it can change our lives. But we've got to be willing to bow down and worship him. We've got to be willing to allow Jesus to speak to us and change us. I could say so much more about the three kings, but let me just highlight 3 points, because in a moment, I probably made this too short now, but never mind. You never know how to do it when you're told to do a bit. Just let me highlight 3 points for us to think about. In a moment, we're going to have time for personal prayer, your chance for you to pray to Jesus for what you want, what you believe you're being led to pray for yourself. Some people think you shouldn't pray for yourself, but I don't think that at all. I think Jesus is longing to answer your prayers, longing to get into a relationship with you, longing to just hear your voice speaking to him about you. He knows you through and through. So 3 points. First of all, the faith, I believe, of the three kings drove them to find Jesus. On the journey, they showed perseverance and determination in their desire to find Jesus. And I believe sometimes we need that. Sometimes we face difficulties. Sometimes we might not even feel the presence of Jesus. Sometimes we might not know what's happening. So we need faith and perseverance to keep going until we find that moment when Jesus speaks to us or when he's there, then we feel that joy. Secondly, the three kings brought expensive gifts to Jesus, the best they could afford. Fortunately, we're not asked to give lavish gifts to Jesus, so it doesn't matter if you can't afford expensive presents. We're not asked to bring expensive gifts in front of the cross. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Nothing about bringing lavish, expensive presents. And then in Luke 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." That's what Jesus wants us to do. Bring ourselves in a humble way before him and let his love pour through us to others. Thirdly, the three kings fell down and worshipped Jesus. These three rich, important people humbled themselves and acknowledged the King of Kings as greater than they were. And that's some doing. So that's why I think the kings are worth noting. What the three kings did, I believe, was truly sacrificial. They gave everything they had in finding Jesus and worshipping Jesus, because they believed that was, I don't know, the best thing to be finding. So the question today is, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to do the same? So we're going to have time for personal reflection now. And to do that, we've got, don't quite know how to explain this, but I'll try. We have got some tea lights there which you can light, but you don't have to. I think sometimes when we put stuff at the front, people think, oh, I better go and do that. But I don't think you have to. I think this is a time when you want to do what you feel God is drawing you close to. So there's some options here. You can just sit quietly. We're going to play a song in a minute. We're going to play "In the Bleak Me Winter." And you can just sit quietly if you want and listen to the words of that song. They are very meaningful. You can stand up and sing if you want. You might want to thank God for his goodness to you. You might want to thank him for something that's especially happened to you this Christmas, really lifted your spirits. You might need to ask God to help you through some tough times, as the wise men did on their journey. You might want to even remember, do you remember the breath prayers we did over the Advent time? We did the breath prayer for hope, peace, joy and love. You might want to sit quietly and just remember those breath prayers. You don't have to remember the exact words. You can just breathe in peace, love as you breathe in, hope and joy. So, if you want to do a candle, I'll move my kings. I don't want to get them burnt. I wouldn't be into trouble. Stand up. If you want to light a candle, if you feel that God is drawing you to light a candle, then there are some tea lights in the baskets. You can use any of these candles here, because the light of these candles, to me, represents the light of Jesus in the world, which brings hope, peace, joy and love. But it also, to me, this morning, reminds me of the star that the wise men followed. So it's there if you feel led to draw to do it. But please don't. I'm going to just sit quietly. I often don't do these things. So just what we want, what I believe God wants, is a time of quiet, just you and him. So please, no talking. Just be quiet. Let's have that really quiet time before Jesus. Okay? Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this time of quiet. Lord, your scripture says, be still. I know that I am God. And we just thank you, Lord, for this space where we can bring ourselves before you, Lord. Where we can be honest with you, Father. Where we can worship you for who you are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our helper, our rescuer, our saviour, all those words we have before, Lord God. Father, help us, Lord, to keep that guiding star ahead of us. Forgive us, Lord, when the ways of the world pull us away from you. Father, give us your strength, your courage, your patience, your perseverance to stay on the road that you want us to be on, Lord God. For we know, Father, that brings such joy, such hope, such peace when we're in your presence. And that's what we seek, Lord. We seek your presence above all things because you are the great I am. There is no one greater than you, Lord God. No one. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to rescue me in my lowly state and us in our lowly state. Thank you, Jesus, that you give up everything to come to this earth for me. Lord, help us to give our all in as much as we're able. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we've heard about the wise men, how they travelled and persevered and how it was worth giving everything. The final bit of the service this morning, we're thinking about hope. We wanted to leave with some hope, some more hope. Let me start with a quote from LICC, a charity that we have links with that help people be Christians in their everyday lives. They say this: when Jesus was born as a human in an ordinary guest room in the small town of Bethlehem, he upended what the world thought it knew about God. Not distant and untouchable, He became truly down to earth. God with us. God living with us. God doing all the everyday things that humans do. His example is one of humility and involvement, of putting your boots on and getting out there, of getting your hands dirty, working to make earth more like heaven. His mission touches every part of life, every place, every task, every relationship. And he calls us all to play our part in it. We're surrounded by difficult situations, the war, the struggle, hurt, our own pressures. It's really vital that we continue to see God at work as well. Not to minimise the difficult things, but to remind ourselves that God is in them, God is here, God is at work in the world. So we're going to focus on hope. We're going to focus on where God is. We're going to hear one or two stories, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for some of the charities we support. So, the first story of hope is from Tear Fund. Tear Fund's a charity that we have lots of links with as a church that work across the world, equipping local churches to change, transform communities. Me and Emma have been doing the Advent readings through Advent. Surprisingly. So each reading has been a story about an individual in a different part of the world, a little bit about their situation, and then how God has worked through the local church and how their lives have been transformed and filled with hope. So let me share one. This is the last one of the series of Advent. It says, many people in Zimbabwe rely on growing and selling their own crops to feed themselves and make a living. However, climate change has led to both long periods of drought and times of extreme flooding, which is making it increasingly hard to grow enough crops to feed families throughout the year. This is even harder when a family member dies or is unable to look after the crops. This happened to Chippo, a 50-year-old mum of four whose husband died. Tear Fund works with church partners in Zimbabwe to ensure families have regular access to nutritious food and the means to earn a good living. Transforming communities training helps communities identify what they need to flourish and break the cycle of poverty. A lady called Kester invited Chippo to attend a women's self-help group run at her local church. At the group, the women worshipped, prayed, danced, and shared stories of their journeys to healing. Chippo knew at that moment that she was in a place that could help her in her difficult situation. Through the support she received at the meetings, Chippo slowly began to see hope through her grief. She joined self-help group training, began to save small amounts with some of the other women from the group. When their savings pot grew, the women were able to borrow from it. Chippo started a poultry project raising chicks. The women also started a community garden growing vegetables to sell in the community and local market, giving them a source of food and income and hope for their families. Kester helped Chippo find hope. Chippo is now passing hope on to others. This is what she says. Now I am sharing a different story, she says. I'm confident, I'm empowered, and I even use my story to encourage other women. The more I attend these meetings, the more I changed. I started looking forward to life. I started smiling. I started experiencing joy once more. So much transformation has happened in my life. I can now say my dignity has been restored. I hope that makes your heart feel glad. Can we have the first slide, Dan, please? So this is one example of hope across the world, where things were hard, where climate change has affected things. A group of women in God's name have come together and are bringing hope. So I've put the slide up. There's Chippo. There's two or three things to pray for. This is your part. We're going to pray. We're going to have a minute or so of silence. We're going to pray in our own minds. We're going to give thanks for God's hope. We're going to give thanks for Tear Fund and how they work. And we're going to pray for Chippo and the community in Zimbabwe that God will be at work. When we finish the minute, I'm going to say, Lord, in your mercy, and if you could respond, hear our prayer, that would be brilliant. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So that's hope number one. One person in Zimbabwe whose life has been transformed. Story number two, hope number two comes from Open Doors. So Open Doors is a charity, again, that we support as a church that works with persecuted Christians across the world. Many of us have a country particularly that we pray for throughout the year. So this story of hope comes out of the last prayer webinar. So in November, we joined here as a church with Christians across the country, not to celebrate, but on the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And we heard from three different charities that work with persecuted Christians. And we prayed with them. We heard stories. We were encouraged. We were challenged. We prayed with them. One of the things they asked us to pray for particularly was about the government's appointment of a special envoy for freedom of religion and belief. I've written that down so I get all those words in the right order. There's a government post called the Special Envoy for Freedom of Religion and Belief. So Fiona Bruce has held that post for a number of years and has been a fabulous person in that post. She's worked really well with Open Doors. She's really represented Christians and people of other faiths across the world. Unfortunately for her, she lost her seat in the last election. So at the prayer meeting in November, Open Doors asked us to pray for somebody to be appointed. Nobody had been appointed at that point in November. They asked us to pray that somebody would be appointed, but not just anybody, that the right person would be appointed for that post that could really speak up for people of faith across the world. So a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from Open Doors, and they said, our prayers have been answered. David Smith MP has been appointed as the UK Special Envoy for Freedom of Religion or Belief. Open Doors said, thank you for all your prayers and support in lobbying the UK government to appoint this special envoy. God is faithful, they said. Our prayers have been answered more than we could ask or imagine. And this is why. David Smith is a professing Christian. He's a member of the All-Party Parliamentary Group for North Korea. So the group that works across the different parties to make links with North Korea. In the past, David has been head of the international program at the Bible Society. He's been a regional volunteer manager for Tear Fund. He's been the National Executive Committee member for Northeast England Christians on the Left. He's a Christian. He's an active Christian. He said he's delighted to take up the role saying, from sub-Saharan Africa to the Middle East and Asia, I have worked with those of different faiths who face religious persecution. And so these are issues I care passionately about. It's a man of faith, a man of experience, a man of understanding of the needs across the world. According to the UK government, as the special envoy, David will champion freedom of religion and belief for all overseas, promoting tolerance, mutual respect, working with the diplomatic network, working in multilateral groups. David will represent the UK in international discussions, working closely with other special envoys and civil society partners. We were asked to pray. We were asked to pray that somebody would be appointed and that the right person would be. And what has happened? God has answered our prayers. There is somebody who is a professing Christian who is going to have experience of this world and is going to speak up and speak out and work with people and work with the charities we link with in this really vital, important role. That's hope, isn't it? Hope that a prayer has been answered and hope that this is seen as being important. So we're going to pray for David as he adjusts to the responsibility, that he'll lead with boldness and integrity, that his work across the world will have impact. We're going to finish again with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let's pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Our third story of hope comes not from me, but from Adam. Thought we'd take the chance to hear from him while he's here.
Hopefully. As many of you know, I am currently a volunteer doing mission work at a place called Yorkshire Camps, which is near Skipton in the Yorkshire Dales, helping to run children's camps for ages 7 to 18. We get a mixture of camps. We do church groups, school groups, and open camps. But my story of hope for today is from one of the earlier camps that we did in the year. We had a school came from Leeds, the way we have to do school camps is different to sort of our church groups or our kind of open camps, where the majority of people that come to those are presumed to probably be Christians or from Christian families. For a school camp, we have to do the Bible teaching slightly differently. So we do them more as kind of like RE-style lessons, telling stories from the Bible and what they mean to Christians, rather than with a church group, we may be challenging young Christians in their faith. This camp in question went really well. The kids seemed to enjoy themselves and had lots of fun, and the teachers thought that it was a really, really good camp as well. The big encouragement we got from God during this camp is that near the start of camp, it was mentioned that we had free Bibles that were available if any of the kids wanted to take one. They weren't sort of handed out. They were just in one of the rooms that we have in the building, there for if anyone wanted to have one. By the end of camp, pretty much every single one of the kids that came from the school had taken a Bible for themselves, pretty much unprompted other than the mention of them being there. But what was more encouraging to see was that they didn't just take it because it was free, but actually during the course of the camp, kids were reading them at bedtimes to themselves. They were asking us lots of questions about the Bible, and they were even spending their free time where they could have gone and played football, or they could have done a whole variety of different things, reading the Bible together in groups. This was one of our early camps as team, and it was just amazing and wonderful to see that the work that we were doing there was being used by God to reach these young people. It can often be difficult in that kind of line of work because you don't always get to see the fruit of what God is doing in the kids' lives whilst you are with them for 48 hours or so. But it was amazing to just have that encouragement early on that we were able to see the kids not just being at the Bible studies and things like that, but actually it was God was reaching them and planting those seeds within them. And we pray, we've been praying for those kids that those Bibles won't just go home and be forgotten about on a shelf, but that God will keep stirring their hearts over the course of the year as well. So, our prayer points. We've done 9 camps so far. We will do over 40 in the course of the whole year. And that was just one story that we've had from one camp about one group of kids. There are many other kids that we've had. There are many other kids that we will have come from all different backgrounds. And so we just wanted to pray for the children and young people who have come to the camps, that they'll have fun, but also that they will have open hearts. We pray for the kids that we've had, that the message that we have given them will go into their hearts and God will keep that going, and also for the kids that come. We pray for the training team, which is what I'm part of, as we look for opportunities to share the gospel with the young children and the young people that come, whether that's during a meeting or over meal times or during different activities that we do throughout the camps. And also as the staff team, as they lead Yorkshire Camps and make decisions about its future, constantly trying to improve the camps, constantly trying to expand, especially as we're looking at new venues for new camp centres, as especially for Yorkshire Camps, it is basically full. There's no space really for any more camps in the year. So pray as they pray about how to do that as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Okay. We've got one more. So we've been across the world. We've been with our missionary in Yorkshire. One more. The last slide, Dan. So there's lots of stories of hope that come out of our church. We're going to hear some of those next week. We wanted to just pray for some of the projects that are part of our church, some of the things that week by week are offering hope to people. The food bank on a Tuesday, the Lighthouse project on a Tuesday night, Acts 4:35, the Welcome Cafe, and there's other things. We just wanted a chance to pray for those, for what God has been doing through them already, but also what more he's got in the future of sharing good news, the hope of Jesus, the love that people can know, to pray for God's work to be seen through us in all that's happening in our church. So let's pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Amen. So I hope you feel encouraged. I hope you've seen God at work, that you have hope that he is at work. There are awful things happening, but God is God. God is still God, and God is working. And we need to hear those things. We need to know that we're part of them. We need to see that our prayers are listened to and answered, because that's the God that we have. So just before we sing our final song, we've been doing the breath prayers. You know, that's it's a favourite thing of mine at the moment. So we've got a sheet that's got just a little bit of explanation on and a handful of breath prayers to start you off. If you've enjoyed them during Advent, if you've enjoyed breath praying during Advent and you want to carry on, then there's a sheet you can take, a bit of information, one or two more prayers that you find once you get into it. You can use any Bible verses you want to make your own prayers up, but those are just a start. So we'll leave them by the door. Please take one of those if you'd like to. We're going to sing our final song. Our final song is The Splendour of the King. Let's stand and worship God together.